Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Batya Brander, and today we will be studying Tzfanya, the first chapter. Tzfanya is the ninth book of Treyasar. The sages say that three prophets prophesied at the same time, Yirmiyahu in the marketplace, Tzfanya in the synagogues, and Huldah for the women. This is during the time period after the exile of the ten tribes, but before the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple. We know that all prophecies that have been canonized have messages relevant to all time periods, including our own. So we will be looking at the Book of Tzfanya both in terms of the immediate message to the Jewish people and the eternal one. The imminent event that Tzfanya is addressing is Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylonia's conquest of Judea and much of the Middle East. However, the term Yom Hashem, the Day of Hashem, is repeated many times in the Sefer, and we understand that it relates to the events at the end of days, Acharit HaYamim. I have translated and paraphrased a succinct explanation of Yom Hashem from the website of Geshar's Educational Division. The popularly accepted outlook is that Yom Hashem, the Day of God, is a good day for the Jewish nation, a day of God's universal victory, a day when the greatness of God is seen, recognized, and a day which will bring the downfall of all the enemies of the Jewish nation. On this day, God will demonstrate his domination over the universe. The prophetic outlook, however, is different, and the assertion is that the Day of God, the Day of Universal Judgment, is a day when God will punish all of the sinners, including the sinners from within the nation of Israel. Therefore, it is a dark day, not a light one. It is a day of great calamity for the entire world. Perhaps we can integrate these concepts, as Tzfanya does, and explain some common terminology as well. The Day of Hashem will happen during the footsteps of Mashiach, Ikvesa de Mashicha, the stage preceding the coming of Mashiach, when we will experience Chevle Mashiach, the birth pangs of Mashiach, the stage of suffering and great tribulations that will come upon the world, the whole world, and the congregation of Israel before the final redemption. On the one hand, the enemies of Israel will be punished, and the nations of the world will suffer, and this will uproot the evil in the world. On the other hand, many Jews will suffer because it will also eradicate evil from amongst the Jewish people. But like labor pains, this is pain with a purpose. The purpose is to purify the world and prepare it to receive the revealed presence of God. This period is generally called Acharit HaYamim. The Day of Hashem is also known as the Day of Pekudah, a day of remembrance, a day when God remembers and gives everyone their due. For many inhabitants of the world, this will be a day of judgment. But God also remembers and rewards the faithful. With this introduction, let us begin our study of the Book of Tzfanya. Dvar Hashem asher haya el Tzfanya ben Kushi ben Gedaliah ben Amariah ben Chizkiah b'yimei Yoshiyahu ben Amon melech Yehuda. The word of the Lord that came to Tzfanya, the son of Kushi, the son of Gedaliah, son of Amariah, son of Chizkiah, during the reign of King Josiah or Yoshiyahu, the son of Amon of Judah. Some say that Tzfanya himself is a direct descendant of the righteous King Chizkiyahu. Yoshiyahu has a very interesting backstory. His father and grandfather are Amon and Manasseh, the most notorious idol worshippers of the Judean kingdom. Yoshiyahu himself becomes a king at 8 years old, and at 18, after finding a Torah scroll while repairing the Beit HaMikdash, starts a comprehensive Jewish renewal, destroying all the idolatry that he can find throughout his kingdom. Huldah the prophetess tells him that because of his humility, the decree of the destruction of Jerusalem that had already been decreed in the time of his grandfather Manasseh, and the exile that is impending will not take place during his lifetime. Some commentaries feel that Tzfanya's prophecy to the people predates and perhaps spurs the renewal period. There are many types of idolaters listed in Tzfanya, and it corresponds with the many types of idolatry uprooted by Yoshiyahu in the book of Malachim. The Navi begins his message in verse 2. Asof asef kol me'al pnei ha'adama ne'um Hashem. All shall be destroyed from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. Tzfanya starts with a general statement of the extent of the impending destruction in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. He then moves on to the particulars of who will be destroyed. Asef Adam ubehima, asef of hashamayim udige hayam, man and beast will be destroyed, the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea will be destroyed. This is either a poetical description of the extent of the destruction, or, according to the Malbim, once the inhabitants leave, even the animals, fish, and birds need to look elsewhere for food. Continuing the description of who will be destroyed, the Navi continues in verse 3. Ba'machshelot et harisha'im, ve'hichrati et ha'adam me'al p'nei ha'adaman u'm'hashem. I will make the wicked stumble, and the wicked together with their stumbling blocks that they place before others, they will all be destroyed. Ve'hichrati et ha'adam me'al p'nei ha'adaman u'm'hashem. And I will destroy mankind from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. Up till here, the Navi is describing Nebuchadnezzar conquering the entire region. Now the Navi shifts his focus to the Judeans. Verse 4, Venatiti yadi al Yehuda, I will stretch my arm against Judah. This is God's demonstration of power and punishment. Va'al kol yoshvei Yerushalayim, and against all the inhabitants of Yerushalayim. Ve'echrati min ha-makom hazeh et sha'ar ha-ba'al, and I will wipe out from this place every vestige of Baal, et shem hakamarim im hakohanim, and the names or the memory of the black robe priestlings along with the regular priests. Verse 5 begins what I will call the those who phrases. As the Navi lists those who will be destroyed, we get a picture of the types of prevalent sins in their generation. Perhaps this was a blueprint that Yoshiyahu used to search for and eradicate the idolatry of his time. Et hamishtachavim al hagagot litzva hashamayim, and those who bowed on the roofs to the hosts of the heavens, these are star worshippers. Et hamishtachavim, and those who bowed down, hanishbaim lahashem, and swear to God, vehanishbaim bimalkam, but also swear by malkam, which is either referring to their king, meaning people who don't fear God, but fear powerful men, or malkam is idolatry, perhaps related to molech, an idolatry that requires passing children through the fire. Accordingly, there are people who sometimes swear to God, but sometimes swear to the idol. Or they hedge, saying, I swear to God, but, oh, that doesn't work for you? Well, then I swear by Malkam, the idol. Verse 6 continues, Ve'et ha'nesogim me'acharei Hashem, and those who have forsaken the Lord, Va'asher lo vikshu et Hashem v'lo darshuhu, and those who have not sought the Lord and have not turned to Him. Verse 7. Here is the first time that we will see use of the word Yom Hashem. Has mipnei Hashem Elokim, quiet in the presence of Hashem your Lord. Ki karav Yom Hashem, because the day of Hashem is near. Ki heichen Hashem zevach, for the Lord has prepared a sacrificial feast, or a slaughter, hikdish kruav, and has designated the invitees. Here, the impending day of God is compared to a sacrificial feast, a slaughter, where Nebuchadnezzar has already been invited to the party. Radak understands that the implication is that once the proclamation has gone out, like what happened in Achashverosh's time, it cannot be rescinded. The decree, dating from the time of Menashe, cannot be stopped. However, in the next chapter, we will learn how it can be mitigated or minimized. Verse 8, Vahaya biyom zevach Hashem, and it will be on the day of the feast of Hashem, upakadati al asarim, that I will remember/punish the officers, Va'al b'nei ha-melech, and the king's sons, va'al kol ha-lovshim malbush nachri, and all those who wear foreign clothing, dressing like the non-Jews. Verse 9, uvakadati al kol ha-doleg al ha-miftan bayom ha-hu, I will punish all those who jump over the threshold on that day. This is referring to those who follow pagan customs, like not stepping on the threshold of the house of worship, dating back to the time of Shmuel ha-Navi, where the head and hands of the Dagon idol landed on the threshold, thus the Plishtim declared the threshold holy and would not step on it. It reminds me of ridiculous superstitions like don't step on a crack and things like that. The rest of the pasuk continues, Hamimalim beit adoneihem chamas umirma, those who fill storehouses of their idols with money acquired through corruption and deceit. The Navi continues describing the cries of despair that will be heard, as the destruction wends its way through four places. Verse 10, Vahaya bayom ha'hun Hashem, and it will be on that day, says Hashem, kol tza'aka misha'ar hadagim, the sound of a cry from the fish gate, which is one of the gates in Jerusalem, v'yalala min ha'mishnah, and a wail from a place called the Mishnah, which is where Huldah the prophetess sat when she gave Yoshiyahu the news that he would be spared. V'shever gadol mehagva'ot, and a great crashing from the hill. Helilu Yoshvei HaMachtesh, the dwellers of the Machtesh will wail. The Machtesh was a marketplace. Kinidma Kol Am Knan, for the merchants will be silent. Here, the Jews are called Kenanim, either referring to the merchants amongst the Jewish people, or to Jewish people who are behaving like Canaanites. Nichratu kol netile kesef. Those who weigh silver will be cut off. Instead of heeding the words of the Navi, people are just going about their business. Verse 12. Vahaya ba'et hahi, achapes et Yerushalayim banerot. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with candles, or maybe lamps, to search every nook and cranny to find sinners. A candle at night is better than the midday sun to uncover hidden places, explains Ibn Ezra. And the phrase is actually the source for the search of chametz being at night and with a candle. The verse continues, Ufakarati al ha'anashim ha'kofim al shimrehem. And I will punish the people who are settled on their sediment. Like the sediment that settles at the bottom of the wine, these are the people who are complacent. They do not become unsettled at the news of the impending destruction, trusting on their wealth to save them. Ha'omrim bilvavam lo yetiv Hashem velo yarea, who say in their heart, the Lord does not do good nor evil. They show no fear because they do not believe that God will punish the wicked nor reward the virtuous. The Radak points out that they deny that God providentially oversees the events on earth, and thus is not a source of good or evil. Navi tells us that the smug skeptics will be sought out on the day of God's punishment. The Navi seems to be connecting wealth and the lack of belief in the essential principles of faith, since their wealth lulls them into a false sense of security. So the Navi continues to describe what happens to the wealthy on that day. Verse 13, Vahayach chelam limshisa, and their wealth will be trampled, uvatehim lishmama, and their houses destroyed, uvanuvatim velo yeshevu, and they will build houses and not dwell in them, benatu kramim velo yishtu et yenam, and they plant vineyards and not drink their wine. Again, there's a sense of people just going about their daily business, not being afraid of the impending destruction. Verse 14, the Navi then warns, Karov Yom Hashem HaGadol, near is the great day of Hashem, Karov Umaher Ma'od, close and very swiftly it approaches. Kol Yom Hashem, the sound of the day of Hashem is so great, Mar Tzoreach Sham Gibor, even the mighty men will roar with bitterness. And indeed, 21 years after the death of Oshiyahu, the Babylonians destroy the Beit HaMikdash and exile the kingdom of Judea. The next few psukim describe how terrible will be this day of destruction. The pasuk starts with Yom Evra, the day of God's fury. The Gemara in Shabbat understands this as referring to the day of the judgment of Gehenim. Anyone who fulfills the obligation to eat three meals on Shabbat is rescued from three punishments, birth pangs of the Messiah, that's the suffering that precedes Mashiach, from the judgment of Gehenim, and from the war of Gog and Magog. I'm sure that there is a deep mystical connection between these three painful experiences and Sudah Shlishit, but I do not know what it is. Nor do I really understand what the judgment of Gehenna is, but the next two psukim proceed to describe it. Verse 15. Yom Evra Hayomahu, a day of anger that day. Yom Tzara Umetsuka, a day of affliction and distress. Yom Shoa Umeshoa, a day of devastation and desolation. Yom Choshach V'Afela, a day of darkness and deep gloom. Yom Anan V'Arafel, a day of cloud and fog. And yes, the word Shoa is familiar to us as the term we use for the Holocaust. Verse 16. Yom Shofar Utrua, a day of horn blasts and alarms. This is the enemy's battle cry. Al Ha'arim Habtsurot, against the fortified towns. Va'al Ha'pinot Hagvahot, and the towering corners or watchtowers. Verse 17, Vahatsiroti La'adam, and I will cause affliction to man. Vaholchu Ka'ivrim, and they will walk like blind. Ki La'Hashem Chata'u, because to Hashem they have sinned. They are blind to the fact that they have caused this destruction upon themselves. The final words of that same pasuk are painfully graphic. Vishufach damam ka'afar, their blood will be spilt like dust, uluchumam ka'gilalim, and their flesh discarded like excrement. A complete disregard for the sanctity of humanity in life and even in death. In the final words of this perek, the Navi reminds us that all the riches will not help us on the day of Hashem's anger. Verse 18, Gam kaspam gam zahavam, also their silver, also their gold, lo yuchal lahatzilam, won't be able to save them, b'yom evrat Hashem, on the day of Hashem's anger. Uve esh kenato te'achel kol haaretz, and with the fire of God's wrath, the whole land will be consumed. Ki chala ach nivhala ya'aseh et kol yoshvei haaretz, for destroyed, utterly terrorized, he will make all the inhabitants of the land. This chapter ends on a very dark note. Perhaps there was comfort in knowing that this warning had an effect on the generation of Yoshiyahu, and it prompted a national tshuva effort, though it was short-lived. Thank you for learning Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.